And obviously, the individuals involved are going to put out some prayer requests, and we can pray for them. Write their prayer requests down. We can pray for them. We can pull up beside them as a church. I don't think we have, maybe we do, but there's something to be said about a church that lifts up Christ and then having the children in that church growing in faith. I have seen that over the years. And no glory to ourselves at all. But when Christ is lifted up in that church, the individuals within that church care about the direction of the family. And I'm not saying we're a family-friendly church, but we love families. Okay? Our focus is not to have the greatest family, but to lift up Christ. And where Christ is lifted up, the family flows. The family unit flows. And when that godly order is in place. So I count it a privilege to be a part of this ceremony, you could say. And I'm also honored to be a part of the dedication of your dedicating your children to the Lord. And we do want to join together. We do want to join together with you as a church, with you parents. It is a meaningful time of commitment. And for the parents, it is a commitment for the parents. I'll ask some questions, and I know that's all on all of your hearts to commit yourself to your children or to your child, and also to do it before the church is a blessing, and to make it known what your desires are, your prayer requests are for the family. So this morning, I want to just share the individuals that we want to dedicate to the Lord. So Seth and Natalia, it's Nathan David, Dan and Lynn, Case and John. If I pronounce these wrong, forgive me. John Omar and Priscilla, it's Kendrick Taylor, Eve and Ida, Bethany Grace, Sammy and Sari, Azariah Samuel, Stephen and Joanna, Caleb Josiah, and Mike and Kate, Joanna Grace, Eve and Ida, Bethany, I'm not sure if there's a second name. Okay, and then also Eve and Ida want to dedicate their family to the Lord. Mary Ellen, Jason, Andrew, Jeffrey, and also Bethany. Daniel and Saran also have requested their family. Micaiah, Alyssa, and Kayleen. So that's let's just keep that in your thoughts and prayers as we go through this time. So... So why children this morning? Why children? How do we view that? Is that just a part of life? Is that just a part of what happens when you get married? Or why children? I truly believe, or we believe, that they are a gift from God. They're a treasure to us as parents. And also, I think they are a treasure to the Lord, very much so. They're created for His purpose. I think we sometimes forget that we were once a child, and you kind of maybe not take it for granted, but I don't know that I'm grateful for everything that my parents did for me, as grateful as I should be. And so someone took care of me, someone treasured me, and ultimately we follow the Lord, we follow Christ, and then His purpose is fulfilled in us as we follow Him. They're precious in the sight of God. So in Mark 9:37, He says, Jesus took the child, whosoever shall receive one of such a children in My name receiveth Me, and whosoever receiveth Me, whosoever shall receive Me receiveth not Me, but Him that sent Me. That is God. So children are a gift to us from God and given to us by God. So what we do with the gifts He gives, how do we handle them? What do we do with them? And I'm going to just share a few thoughts, and then we'll go into our time of dedication here. Try not to make it too long this morning. So the first priority is the Bible instructs us to teach them. Teach them what? How do we teach our children? The biggest thing that I can think of and that I could come up with is the fear of the Lord. We teach our children the fear of the Lord and pass your faith that you have in God onto them. Proverbs, you can just follow along here as I don't know that you have to turn there. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Notice there, it's emphasizing beginning. The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And this is a foundation that won't move. When it's built, when it's built right, it will not move. Now, I have seen over the years where there was a child that grew up in a home where this was practiced. And it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Does that mean he will never depart and stray away from God? Not necessarily. But I've seen, and the reason I say that is because the child at some point has a choice to make. They have their choices to make. And so by God's grace, we pray that they would make the right choices and follow the Lord. But I've seen in children that grow up in Christian homes, the Word of God is promoted, and then they stray away from God for a season. And in that time, there's a constant something down in their hearts that just won't go away. It's just rooted deep. And you know, God's Word will never come back to Him void. When we put that down in there, it's there to stay unless you deny it. Isn't that beautiful? That is a tremendous foundation. We can deny the Word of God. We can walk away from God. But at the end of the day, that is always inside there. And as soon as you connect and you recommit your life to the Lord, then it all comes back again. We've been down in Philly, the drug capital of the U.S., on Kensington. And I've visited with pastors that are drug addicts. Past pastors. They could quote scripture better than I could. It never left them. It will always be there. And that's something to be treasured. So that foundation in our children early on is huge. It's very important. And may God give us grace to do that daily in our lives. So the foundation will never move, but the choices that the individual makes are really their responsibility. So let's just pray that God would move in our children and keep them. I want to encourage the parents this morning of the children and all of you together. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbors as yourself. The two commandments that Jesus gave fulfills all the law. We can turn to Psalm 103, 11 to 19. And we're talking about teaching the fear of the Lord, the Lord's promise to the parents. And this morning, I also want to encourage the parents and the grandparents to fulfill their calling in the aspect of raising up the next generation. There's welcome to the grandparents this morning. We're glad to have you with us. And, you know, even you older, yeah, I guess I'm getting close too, but the grandparents here have a tremendous and can have a tremendous influence on the children, on the next generation. I want to encourage you, and I know some of you are deeply, all of you are deeply investing and have a desire to see the next generation grow in faith. So on 103, let's start in 11 to 19. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. See the emphasis here. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Wow, what promises this morning. Boy, can we believe this for our generation, for us and our children? And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So there is a response. We see a responsibility here, right? We see something that we need to do on our part. It doesn't just happen. It would be nice, but there is a responsibility on our part that we need to keep the Lord's commandments. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Praise God for that. So yeah, I just want to encourage the grandparents, as you walk with your grandchildren, the parents with your children, take these promises. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And then 14, he knows our frame. He knows we deal with things. He knows that there's struggles. There's things that we need grace for. But it's encouraging us to walk out our short life. In verse 15, it's like a flower in the field. It flourisheth, and then it's over. I remember when we were young parents, like some of you, maybe one, two children. And remember an old fellow down here at the park one Sunday. We had a fellowship meal down there, and there was an old fellow there. And I asked him, I said, what are some things that you can tell me? And he was dealing with cancer, basically. A stage four cancer. And I asked him, I said, can you give me any advice for my family? And he said, get the word of God into your children. That's all he said. And so may that be an encouragement to us this morning. So you'll notice that I'm putting a little bit heading toward the godly order. So where the godly order is practiced in a healthy way, it will determine a lot. It will determine a lot. The headship order. So if the godly order is practiced in a healthy way, that would determine the direction of your family. If the husband is walking under the authority of God, the wife is submitting herself to the husband in a healthy way, the children will ultimately flow under that. So that will determine the direction of your family, which will determine what the family will contribute to God or the church, right? And that will determine the health of that church. In case we have questions there, let's just test it a little. What happens when there's broken homes? Things fall apart. What happens when there's out of order homes? It's tough. It's testing. And so we see the decline or the erosion of the godly order when there's not a commitment in marriage. There also is not a commitment to children or to take care of the children. They bounce back and forth. They don't know where they belong. If you've never seen a picture of that, go to an Indian reservation sometime in the West. You'll see the reality of that. Our son was up in, Austin was up in God's River in Canada a couple years ago, and those children did not know where they belong. Some of them didn't know who their father was, and some of them weren't sure if they had moms and dads. They didn't know who they were. And it's just the uncommitted lifestyle that brings an erosion. So that makes this true. That will be the health of the church. Ephesians 5, let's go there just for a little. 22 to 33. And we see the godly order here. Ephesians 5:22 to 33, starting out there, talking to the wives, and I just want to give you a picture there. I am not sure why it starts with the wives, but it does. And let me just give you a picture there of the one note that I made is to submit is to voluntarily place oneself under the authority of another. It's not by force. It's not by trying to convince. It's not by trying to appease one to come under, but it's voluntarily placing oneself under the authority of another. And how does that happen? That happens only through if the headship order is in the proper place. So starting in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. It's not just to the husbands, but it's as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Let me just pause there for a little bit. A lot of us come from, would have Anabaptist background. And honestly, we weren't raised to truly honor and respect authority, because it was very difficult to walk under that authority in the church, because what they were asking us to do was next to impossible. Would you agree? What they were asking us to do was next to impossible. You agree with this, and then you go home and do the opposite because you just can't fulfill it. It's too heavy. And so we were never taught how to walk under authority and honor authority and respect that and hold and lift that up in each other. And so this becomes difficult for husband and wife to walk with each other. It can. By God's grace, it's beautiful. But it can be difficult to fulfill this. So as we look at this, just picture with me if you would just do that. I remember when that happened to we got my wife and I got a picture of that. And I know the day that I was a pushover in some ways, committed myself to walk before God as a husband, as a father. I had done that, and I remember the day she left go because I wasn't leading right. I wasn't stepping up. And I'm sharing this as a testimony, as an encouragement to you. She didn't say anything to me, but I felt it. I felt when she released that. All of a sudden, it was like, is this my decision? Whatever you choose. And so, it's if you're a husband, if you're a father here this morning, and you're not leading, your wife, it's a scary place to be if you can't lead. When you start leading, it'll be a transition there for the two of you. Just as an encouragement. But look to Jesus. He will give you strength. He will guide you. He will direct you. And this, according to Scripture, this is how we ought to walk. 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay, now it shifts. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Notice how it ties in with marriage. Notice how the church ties in this context of Scripture with marriage and how they so relate to each other. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture that gives us. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Praise God. Wow, that's exciting. So your children are, they notice how you walk together. And honestly, they notice when things are out of order. When this is out of order, your children will pick it up very quickly. I'm encouraging us this morning. This is focused on the family. This is focused on the children and also challenging us as parents, because we are responsible for our children and for these gifts that God has so graciously given us. So they will see it very, very quickly by observation if you're together. And it starts very young. Sometimes it starts in the high chair. They can sense that. I don't know how, but it just works that way. They learn by facial expressions and by body language. I forget who that was recently said, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 65 or 70% of communication is expressed through body language? Am I right on that? It's a high percentage without words. And so they learn a lot by observation and how you walk together and how you talk together and how you express yourselves to each other and to them. So that's part of training. You're training them while you while you live life. We're going to go on into Ephesians 6, 1-4. Here's a challenge for the children. Instruction. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We talked about this a little bit ago. For those who can understand that this morning and who know how to read your Bible, that is instruction for you as a child to your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay. There is a difference if your parents are not walking with the Lord and they ask you to do something that would violate Scripture. I'm not talking about that. That's not what it's talking about here. It's saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, you can still walk with your parents. And I'm going to go back to the thing of authority. If there is someone that is over you in authority, and you cannot go along with that, it is only your reasonable service to say, listen, sir, I agree with what you're saying, but I can't do that against my conscience. Could you honor that? I know your position. I don't want to disrespect you. And I want to walk where you want me to walk, but this is a place I can't go. I'm sorry. And just communicate it. Honor him for his position. If it's a dad or a mom that isn't walking with the Lord, the same thing. You treat it like, just explain it. This is where I am. You don't rebel against it. You don't disrespect. You don't dishonor. They are still your parents. And may God give us grace in that. There's, again, I grew up in a stable home. I don't know what all of you experience. Some things are tough. But God is able this morning. God is able. I look around the room here, and there's all kinds of stories here. From one level to the other level, okay? But you're here this morning, and God is able. Verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We talked about that before. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor can be your father or your mother. Love them as you love yourself, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. What is he saying? What is he saying comes with honor? A great appreciation for them. An aspect of our character, something that can test our character. It goes against when someone is violating us or working against us. Sometimes it is a true test of our character to overcome that. But we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and then there can be honor in place there as well. When you see honor in an individual, it is precious in the sight of God. And then verse 3 expresses the peace of God, a resting place in Him. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in a nurture and an admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. So daily you do this for your children and you'll channel them or point them in some way. Nurture, the definition of that is that which nourisheth, food, diet, to feed, to nourish, that which promotes growth, instruction, education, to guide, to bring them up, and to train them up. That's nurturing. That's our calling as parents. We nurture and train them. Admonition is a gentle reproof. Counseling against a fault. Instruction in duties. Isn't it beautiful to teach them and then after a while you do it multiple times and then you watch them go. There they go. They can do it now. To caution, to give direction, teach them to obey and respect. That's admonition. So don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I want to encourage us this morning. The way I see train is, the tendency for us to think is, we sat our child down, or someone, we sat them down, and okay, now they know. Now that this is going to be dandy. I finally had a formal sit down with them, and they should know. And all of a sudden, you see the cycle repeating again, and again, and again. And you know what the definition of training is? It's doing it until they know better, until they do different. So don't get discouraged. Remember what you did, or I did. It took training. It took a repeated action. Dad used to come to me about certain things, and I'd do it again. Okay, I won't. Sorry. And I'd do it again. But then after a while, I saw the value of not doing that anymore. And I was trained. And when we train them well, we don't just drop it, because that's ultimately giving them permission. If you just drop it, be careful with that. What you say in the home to your children, then you need to enforce it. So don't put something in place that you can't enforce. I'm talking to myself this morning. You can say a lot of things, but it takes time to enforce it. So stay with it and train them and teach them, disciple them to the Lord. I want to just pick up a couple verses in Deuteronomy. 6, 5 to 8. Talking about teaching and discipleship. And you can tie this in with, we're not going to do that this morning, but you can tie it in with Psalm 119, where it talks about the commandments, the statutes, the precepts, and all those that the Lord gives us instruction on. And but here we are, teaching and discipling them. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And so we're talking about teaching and training, discipling our children and our families. And in the process, it will spill out to others around us. Teach them in the high chair. Young families, teach them in the high chair. Before 5, you have a huge, huge influence on the character that will be set for their life. Catch them in that early stage and teach them in the high chair. Teach them young. I will tell you from experience, there's some that we go through seasons in life, right? And live without regrets. There is seasons when we're busier than other times. But let's live without regrets. Don't miss that early stage. I regret some of those stages that we had. And by God's grace, He does restore and He does give grace, but we don't do it foolishly. So what do we do when children do not obey? Be interesting to open it up. But I won't do that this morning. We're going to stick to the Word of God and His truth. The Bible says to use the rod. Ouch. That used to hurt. I don't like that. But it helped. Because it's the Word of God. He says, and always in love, okay? This is done in love. We use the rod or spank. Proverbs 10:13 says, the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes or sometimes. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And may God give you grace in as you fulfill this. That is with communication, but it is the right thing to do. There is consequences for lawlessness, for disobedience. You know, the Bible says that the law is the schoolmaster to Christ. And we have to come to grips that our children, if they haven't given their lives to the Lord Jesus, there needs to be some type of order, some type of something to go by, right? Because if you are not submitted under the lordship of Christ, and you're not willing to do what your parents want you to, and rebel against that, that tells me, or tells us, according to Scripture, that you're lawless. You're in need of a Savior. You're in need of a boundary, something to go by. Us as husbands and wives understand this because we continuously say, don't do that. And when you go beyond that, what is that? That's disobedience. That has consequences. That has to be paid for. I remember one time I had a bad mark in my report card, and my dad said, if I get one more bad remark in my report card, I'm gonna get a spanking. And I was a little older. I came home with a bad mark, and I was so scared to give him this. He kept that card for 2 days, and that was such torment. I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know when, and I didn't know how severe it's going to be. So young children, listen, I got spanked too. And this was such torment to me. But I remember one morning he pulled me into the our milk house, and he grabbed one of those milker hoses, which was very flexible, and it hurt. Okay, we were dairy farmers. The whole way through that process, my dad was crying as much as I was. And that was the last time I got spanked. It affected me so deeply. I tried to honor him and respect him, and there was something that shifted in my character. I submitted myself under his authority. But it was hard for him to do that. Do you understand? Spanking isn't, you don't get angry. You do it in love. You do it with grace. But fulfill it. It's the Word of God. I remember, I don't know if it's still this way or not, there used to be a One of the former families that came here put a paddle down in the men's room, and I don't know if it's still there or not. I haven't needed it for Lamar recently. It's okay. You can put one there. Nobody will touch it. Oh, praise God. So the law is a schoolmaster to Christ. It's a blessing when children submit and are obedient as unto the Lord. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." So God's created our children for a purpose and to bring Him glory. Wow. He planted them as seeds into our lives. It just really seems that way. They come as precious little, you'll see that this morning, precious little bundles. And then they start to grow. As you put them in the right environment, feed them, train them. So there are seeds into our lives and our families for that purpose, to bring Him glory. I want to encourage you yet, Psalm 25, 12 to 13. Let me just do this first. I think I want to take time a little bit here to just read something to you before we go there. What are children for? This is out of, what's his name? Not my own words. Colin Campbell had a writing. He says, children, he said, one way we build the nation. Children are wonderful. They're beautiful. They know how to get your attention. We adore their chubby cheeks, their cute ways, their innocent eyes, their pitter-patter of feet, their unending questions as they seek answers. They are our flesh and blood. They hold our DNA. They are the future. They are our heritage. They are our true riches. Money and possessions can't compare. They are gifted, talented, and creative. They're tomorrow's leaders. They are tomorrow's provisions for our family and nation. They draw love and many other virtues from us. Listen to this one. They make us a charactered people as we build character in them. We must take responsibility for them so they will in turn take responsibility for us. Beautiful. Without children, there would be no family, no home sweet home, no family vacations, no birthday parties, no romances, no weddings, no future workforce, no future soldiers to fight evil, no future fathers and mothers to raise children. Picture this, no babies, no family, no nation. We see that happening to some extent in some countries where they have put laws in place to eliminate children. We see the consequences of that. Our mothers have vacated the home for their careers. This is what some things are that are happening. We have sacrificed our children and family life on the altars of selfishness, careerism, and materialism. With smaller and smaller families, we become lonely, deprived, unfulfilled, and without character. We have little, if any, family to come home to. No laughter, no singing, no natural family to entertain us. We have no one to care for. We've given what little we have to daycare. No one to love. In turn, we have no one to love us. And these last couple here, your home is a sculpturing studio, but you are not sculpturing clay, stone, or paper. You are sculpturing flesh and blood. As your children are molded in the ways of God by the enabling of the Holy Spirit, you are sculpturing nothing less than the glorious likeness and image of God. Beautiful. Could anything be greater? I think not. The whole world is waiting. Heaven is waiting. All creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It is the desperate need of the nations. What are you waiting for? It is high time to stand up and take your place in the greatest building project of all time, the family. Wow. That is beautiful. I was intrigued with that writing. I was just like, wow, that is so, so true. So let's continue to give ourselves to the work of God through our family and through what He wants to do with our children and fulfill what He wants to do in the lives of our children. Psalm 25, 12 and 13. Again, we're talking about what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. So our children love the Lord. They love their neighbor, fulfilling the Great Commission when we love God. I love that next verse. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Praise the Lord. We're going to shift a little bit, just some questions if you all want to prepare those that are dedicating their family or their children. We're going to have the children first, and then we'll have the family dedications next. Just a couple quick questions for you to consider. I don't think this needs to be done in a formal way, but if you want to consider these for your family and just kind of answer them as husbands and wives. Do you come professing, this is for the parents, do you come professing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your lives? And do you come to dedicate yourselves to the biblical instruction, discipline, and love of this child? And do you come to dedicate the child's name in the ultimate control and will of God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, here's something for us as a church. Do you, church, agree to support these parents by your example and through the acts of service? And do you agree to reinforce the biblical instruction, discipline, and love of this child under the supreme rule of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wow. That's the beauty of publicly doing this. I remember each of our children, we did this, and just a blessing. And now I look back and I see some of you that are older. I remember when your mothers held you as a little baby or a young child. And now all of a sudden, you're teenagers. And it's like, what happened? So it happens so rapidly. Happens very quickly.